I can't imagine that family reunion after they were comfortable knowing their brother wasn't going to take their heads. And how so many of us now separated from our families because of COVID-19, that we long for this family reunion that Joseph and his brothers had. So the response of reading is Psalm 133 that talks about that reunion. And I read the regular and you read the bold and underlined. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Amen. So our gospel lesson is Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. It's a familiar story, story of the Canaanite woman. Let us listen. Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Then Jesus answered her. She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as always, the lectionary starts somewhere in the middle of a story. So I want to give us what was happening with Jesus and his disciples before they went into the district of Tyre and Sidon. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had come and they had challenged him about his disciples because his disciples were not washing their hands. Now today that would be really rough if you weren't washing your hands. But in those days, one of the purity rules was to always wash your hands before you ate. Isn't that interesting that it was then there? But for us, it's about cleanliness, right? And germs. For the Hebrews, it was about purity. That if you didn't wash your hands, the impurities of the food would make you impure and unclean. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees were going after Jesus because his disciples were doing things against the law. And since they were doing things against the law, they were impure and unclean. And Jesus speaks to them about cleanliness and purity. And he talks about the fact that those things that we eat at some point leave our body. So that which was unclean that we brought in is going to at some point escape. And I'm not going to get graphic about how that happens. But the things that we speak can be just as vile and unclean and impure as that which we eat. And he was talking to the Sadducees and Pharisees about the fact that how we live, who we are, is where the purity is. And law provides boundaries so that we know. But often, if we honor the law more than we honor who God is within us, then we can be just as impure following the law as someone can be pure not following the law. So he's explaining this, and then he and his disciples leave to go into this land that's called Tyre and Sidon. It is predominantly a Canaanite land. So they, as Hebrews, are not the normal residents. The normal residents are not of the Jewish tradition. And since they're walking into this space, you also know that they are, to keep themselves pure and clean, they cannot associate with people who are not of their race or of their faith tradition. Or they become unclean and impure. So what do? They march through, and they're probably doing all those careful things that we're doing now, making sure they are socially distanced from that which is unclean. And he knows he's come to serve those who are lost from the Hebrew people. Remember, big breath. Remember when Abraham received the covenant from God. He received the covenant three times. There was no law. There was only that covenant. I will be your God and you will be my people. He made that promise to us before he even brought Moses to the top of the mountain and made the law. Jesus has come so that he can save God's chosen people, so that they can continue to be the light to the world, and that we can all be saved and the world can be saved. That's Jesus's focus right now. But he's walking in this land that's not of his people. It's a Canaanite land. And this woman comes up who has a daughter who's possessed by a demon. And she comes up and she wants help. So she's shouting. Wouldn't you be shouting if you had a sick child? Wouldn't you be shouting for the one who could save him? And she is shouting for all her life, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy. My child has a demon." She's a Canaanite. She is not a Jew. But she knows that this man, she has faith that this man can heal her child. Now, his disciples are like, "We need to get this woman away. She's not ours. Jesus, tell her, go away." And that's when Jesus talks about he's come for the lost sheep of Israel. And she gets down on her knees and she says, "Lord, have mercy." And then we get that familiar story that we now know about the dogs. When he says, "You know, I'm here to feed my sheep. I'm not giving anything of mine to the dogs." And that was a derogatory racial slur on Canaanites, dogs. And her response is, "But even the dogs under the table get the scraps." Now, if any of you have a dog, you know how well they pick up the scraps. Now, mine do, because I'm the sloppiest eater in all the world. I mean, I need a baby blanket underneath my table and chair because I drop food all over the place. And Indy is very good at finding all that food. But her words have this response from Jesus: "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." I want to talk about her faith, because we often talk about, gee, Jesus doesn't look really great in this story. But we don't talk about her. She doesn't have a name. She's a Canaanite woman. But she knows who Jesus is. She calls him Lord, Son of David. She knows what Jesus can do. He can heal her daughter of a demon. And she has such faith in that she ignores everything. She ignores all the social rules. She ignores all the boundaries. She ignores everything. And she persistently goes after him to save her daughter. "Woman, great is your faith." It's amazing what faith can do. And we don't stop and think about what faith can do. It may not bring the cure to all of us, but we can be healed by faith. Healed of how the disease, or however our circumstances, whether they're financial, whether they're physical, whether they're emotional, whatever the circumstances are, we can stop being defined by those things and be defined as who we are as a child of God, and live each day as the gift that it is from God. Because what faith can do, God promises to bring the world into full reconciliation with God. That's God's promise. And if we believe that, and if we live out of that, if we understand that God believes that the way for us to do that is through love, love God, love neighbor, love self, love enemy, love one another. Love is what wins. And our faith that even in the midst of circumstances that it looks like love is on the losing end, that God will win if we keep moving forward because of what faith can do and what love can do in the life of a person. There's a song called "What Faith Can Do" by Cutlass. and I got introduced to it by my friend Marty Colley. Marty Colley has been in ministry many more years than I've even been called into ministry. And he and his wife finally took their first vacation, and they went off to Maryland somewhere, and he was having a great time until he got sick. And he thought, oh my goodness, my gallbladder's acting up. And he went to the doctors, went to the hospital, and the doctor came in and said, you have, in this very long name, cancer. And normally the prognosis from the extent of your cancer is 3 months. You have 3 months to live. So Marty wrote a book called Dying While on Vacation. But he came back to North Carolina, and he went to Duke. I know some of you aren't Duke fans, but he went to Duke, to the cancer group there. And they said, yes, you have about 3 months to live. But we have the study if you'd like to be in it. And he said, my wife and I want to take some time and think this over. So they went on vacation again and spent a good week down at the beach thinking about what they were going to do, what next steps, thinking about how do you end a life in 3 months when you thought you had 20, 30, 40 years ahead of you. So they came back and said yes to the study. And the first jar of marble, no, I won't get there yet. But then what they also did was Marty invited all of his clergy friends who he loved to organize his celebration of life. He had his celebration of life 4 weeks after his diagnosis. He was alive. And the song that, one of the songs that he picked, that it's become something that we sing in awakenings, it's called What Faith Can Do. The fact that faith can move mountains. So Marty got a jar of marbles, and he filled it with enough days as the 3 months. And every day he would take out the marble, because that day was a gift from God. And he lived according to what faith could do in the midst of that day. The jar emptied. Marty got another jar because through the study, they said, well, maybe 5 years. His cancer will never go away. And he will always be on chemotherapy. We're on year 7 of Marty Colley, living and breathing, and now in Florida. What faith can do. He's a man who lives out his calling in his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has never, never doubted what God can do in the midst of everything. The cancer's not gone. The chemotherapy is only delaying the movement of the disease. But he lives each life as a gift that it is given by God. What faith can do in the midst of a pandemic, what faith can do in the midst of political craziness, what faith can do to bring about God's will here on earth, that the world will be transformed, not by hate, not by division, but by love and by unity. So think about it. What can faith do in your life? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.